Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. We'll read from verses 1 through 8. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Notice with me what the Apostle Paul says, particularly in verse number 6. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. Paul makes a statement at the end of his life, just before he was to be headed for the cause of Christ. The word departure makes one think of a ship ready to set sail. Paul was saying that the end of his life was near. However, his ship was ready to set sail. He was ready to depart this life and go to the next. Why? Because Paul knew. Yes, Paul knew that he had some eternal cargo on board to take home to heaven. Just look at what Paul had to say about what was waiting for him when he got to the shores of heaven. In verse 8 of our passage, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Today on the Pastor's Study, let's look at some of the cargo that Paul had on board to take home to heaven. Let's look at Paul's cargo. First of all, he had the eternal cargo of suffering. Suffering. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, it's talking about ruling and reigning with Christ during the millennium. And it's based on suffering for Christ during your life. Amen. And we can certainly say the scriptures show us or testify of the sufferings of Paul. Paul certainly suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we have summarized in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verses 21 to 30. We have summarized here the sufferings, amen, and perils of the Apostle Paul. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse beginning in 21, he says, I speaking as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors. more abundant in stripes above measures, and prisons more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Paul certainly suffered, my dear friend, for the cause of Christ. He knew when he said, my departure is at hand, his ship had the eternal cargo of suffering on it to go to heaven, amen, taking it to heaven with him. Then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 through 11, the Word of God says, we are troubled, Paul wrote, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, that I might know him, referring to Christ, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See that? Being made more conformable unto life. So we see, number one, the first eternal cargo that Paul had on his ship that was ready to depart to go to heaven was suffering. The second one, the second eternal cargo that Paul had aboard his ship to go to heaven, was souls. The Apostle Paul was a soul winner. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Paul would be taken a lot of souls, amen, that he won to the Lord to heaven. Notice with me what he called those he had won to the Lord in Thessalonica. Notice. In 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. See that? He's talking here about those at Thessalonica, amen, would be his joy and glory when he appeared and when they appeared in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, everyone he led to the Lord was eternally saved. Amen. That he wouldn't lose any. That they would be there in heaven with him. Look in 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know, here it is, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. The resurrection. against that day, that these that he had won to the Lord, he knew without a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they would be in heaven, that he would not lose a one, that they were eternally saved. The Bible witnesses to the fact, amen, that the Apostle Paul established many New Testament churches in most of the known world at the time. Amen. He was a soul winner. This is evidenced by the book of Acts and the many epistles or letters Paul wrote to encourage and exhort the churches that he had established. So we see number two on board of eternal cargo that Paul was going to put on his ship was souls. The third one is self-control. Paul lived a life of self-control. Notice the statement that he made, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see here in verses 25 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 to 27. The Word of God has this to say. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Of course, people like to use that last verse to show that Paul said you could lose your salvation. No, he was saying that he lived a life of self-control. He lived his life in such a way that no one could point to him and say to him, look at Paul, look at his excesses, how he gives in to the desires of his wicked flesh. No, Paul kept his body under. And what he brought about is, he said, you know, there are athletes. He often spoke in terms, athletic terms. Here he's talking about those runners, amen, who lived a disciplined life, kept their body under, temperate, so that they could win a crown. And we know back then the games that they put a wreath around the winner's head, amen. And he's saying, hey, if they can do this to win a crown that's going to be corrupted, we should do the same thing, because we're striving not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible crown. Amen? So Paul knew when he was going to heaven, he was ready to depart. His ship was ready to depart because he had on that the eternal cargo of a life that he lived, one of self-control. Amen? Paul lived the life of self-control, my friend, is further evidenced by what he had to say. First, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Paul's saying, I'm under grace now. I'm not under the law. Amen. You know, I'm not under the commandments and do this, thou shalt not do that, and so forth and so on. I'm never no longer under the law, but I'm under grace. And it's I can do all things. They're lawful unto me now, but he says they're not expedient. Amen. They're not going to help anybody. Amen. And he said, and I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. Amen. And what he was talking about, it ties into living the life of self-control. You know, a lot of people become under the power, amen, of cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, and so forth and so on. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Because I want to live a life that's self-control. I want to live a life so that I won't be a castaway Christian. Amen. And he said here, and he said, all things are lawful again, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Amen. In other words, you can do anything, but a lot of the things that you're going to do is not going to help anybody, not build up anybody in the Lord. Amen. So we see then that Paul had aboard that ship, amen, the cargo, eternal cargo of self-control, amen. Now, look with me if you would. Paul also had the eternal cargo on his ship of service. Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter 20. In the book of Acts in chapter 20, Paul is giving his farewell address to the pastors or elders at Ephesus. And notice with me as we go through this passage what he says here. For example, he says to them in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And then he goes on in verse 20 and he tells them that he kept nothing back that was profitable. And he showed and he taught the word of God. Notice, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul would preach out on the streets, and then also we would go to the churches that were in the homes and teach and preach the word of God. So he served the Lord. Notice also his testifying. He says in verse 21 of Acts 20, he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul continually testified how to be saved. Amen. And then verses 22 and 23 tell us in Acts 20 that Paul risked his life for the cause of Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul also said in verse 24, he said that he didn't let anything stop him. Amen. Didn't let anything stop him, even risking his own life to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, but not in verse 24 of Acts 20, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says here in verse 26, he said his conscience is clear. He did not have the blood of anyone, amen, of anyone on his hands. He took every opportunity given to him to tell people how to be saved by the grace of God. Notice in verse 26, wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Amen. And then in verse 27, Paul said that he told it like it was. He didn't hold anything back. He held nothing back in his preaching. He preached all the Bible, not just the stuff people like to hear. He said in verse 27 here in Acts 20, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul knew his ship was ready because he had on the ship, he had on board, amen, the eternal cargo of service for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, something else that Paul had on board was he was a spend and be spent Christian. Amen. Paul was a spend and be spent Christian. He had this eternal cargo on board his ship that he was a spend and be spent Christian. Notice with me what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 15. Paul said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Notice Paul says, I will very gladly spend. You see, Paul practiced what he preached. Paul was a cheerful giver. Did you know that the Apostle Paul never went full-time in the ministry? That's right. He often had to work to support himself and not be a burden to some of the churches, especially those cheapskate Christians that made up the Church of Corinth, amen? He was a tent maker by trade, amen? The Apostle Paul gave of his own material possessions and finances to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the spend of being a spend and be spent Christian. Now, besides that, amen, if that wasn't enough in itself, he gave of himself physically and emotionally to the point of death for the cause of Christ. That's the spent part. Paul knew very well what it was like to be used and abused and taken advantage of by other Christians. So don't go whining, you know, and carrying on about what other Christians have done for you. Amen. Paul did it. He kept spending and being spent despite all of that. Despite all of that, he still could say, I will very gladly, amen, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. What a statement. The more that the Apostle Paul gave of himself, especially to this church of Corinth, the less he was loved. Amen. He was a spend and be spent Christian. He wasn't getting anything in return. Amen. In fact, the more love he gave them, the less they gave back. That's what real love is. Amen. It's a, really a one-way street. Giving, amen, of yourself to others, not expecting anything in return. Amen. That's the love of God. That's what Christ did for us. Amen. He died for wicked sinners. Amen? Jesus, spend and be spent for you and I. Amen. Just as Paul was a spent and be spent Christian. Amen? The more he loved, the less he was loved. You know, and besides all of this, what we've been talking about, all this eternal cargo that Paul, amen, was to bring on board. He wrote most of the New Testament. Amen. Yes, my friend, Paul was ready to depart. His ship was ready to sail. And we see, because of all that eternal cargo that he had on, he had the eternal cargo of suffering, did he not? He had the eternal cargo of souls that he had won to the Lord during his lifetime. He had the eternal cargo of self-control, a life. His life reflected a life of self-control. He also had on board the eternal cargo of service. Amen. Paul certainly served the Lord all his life. He didn't retire and go off to Florida. Amen. And then we just saw that he truly was a spend and be spent Christian. Now, how about you, my friend? We've talked about Paul this morning. Amen. How about you? Is your ship ready to sail? Amen. Do you have any eternal cargo on board to take to heaven's shores? Oh, you may say, oh, I have plenty of time before it's my time to depart. Listen, my dear friend, you and I are not promised tomorrow. None of us know when we will breathe our last breath. King David said this in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. He said, there is but a step between me and death. David knew how fleeting life was. Amen. He could be alive 1 minute and dead the next. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 27, chapter 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. My friend, what cargo do you have on board? Have you laid up any treasure in heaven? What have you done with the money that God has given you? Was any of it spent? Amen. Never mind a tithe. Was any of it spent? Amen. Supporting a good local Bible-believing church. Amen. Or was it all sent to your favorite radio preacher or televangelist? Amen. Was any of it spent on supporting missions? Amen. Missions. Did you spend more money on dog food last year than you did on missions? If you have, shame on you. Have you led anyone to the Lord? Amen. When is the last time that you even handed out a gospel tract? When is the last time that you even gave someone your testimony, how Jesus saved you, and what your life was like before Jesus saved you, and the change that has taken place since? When is the last time you stood for the things of Almighty God? When is the last time you had someone slam a door in your face for trying to witness to them about Christ? Do people know where you stand on prayer in school, in the Ten Commandments? Do people know where you stand on homosexuality? Do people know where you stand on pornography and child abuse? Do people know where you stand on abortion on demand? I love these people. They call them pro-choice. Amen. They're not pro-choice. It's just one choice. Abortion. That's what they're promoting. Amen. Do people know where you stand on adultery and fornication? Amen. Do people know where you stand on Israel and support of Israel? Amen. Are you a spend and be spent Christian? Do you gladly give of your material resources and of yourself physically and emotionally to further the gospel of Christ? Let me ask you, my dear friend, would there be enough evidence in a court of law to convict you of being a Christian? As we conclude today on the pastor's study, my friend, I beseech you, those listening to me today, if you have not started already, then today, right now, is the time to start putting some eternal cargo on board your ship. So when your departure is at hand, you can say, as Paul said, yes, my ship is ready to sail. My friend, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, won't you call upon his name today? Won't you repent of your sins? Ask God to forgive you for your sins and pray and receive Jesus Christ into your heart today. And he has promised all that come to him, he will no wise cast out. Won't you come to Jesus today? Won't you invite him into your heart by faith, believing that he shed his precious blood for the payment of your sins, and that your sins can be forgiven by his precious blood?